I think I can decide what moves these boys, and my boy Willie here needs to see, and if they want to see a movie with violence and gore, then I say let her rip.
Previews of coming attractions.
Welcome back to Sunday Night in Cinema 3. It's hard to believe we're already a quarter of the way through the year. Opening this week on the big screen is Ready Player One, the next salvo in the death march toward the summer blockbuster season. I saw it with my son yesterday, and I've got to admit, I liked it. I've seen a lot of people hating on the book, which I haven't read except for some truly terrible excerpts, and predicting the many ways that it would suck. It's not a perfect movie by any means. It's essentially a remake of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, with a William Gibson hellscape skin over it. It is predicated on a checklist mystery plot, but it's deftly handled by Steven Spielberg. Perhaps a couple of the answers could have been a lot less obvious. It feels off that the giant evil corporation, for example, with hundreds of people assigned to solving the Easter egg hunt, never thought to try every possible action in the game, especially one as obvious as the way Wade wins the first challenge. It does at least feel like a good old-fashioned Steven Spielberg movie more than anything else, and even I am not immune to feeling a little hit of dopamine when I see the logo of the greatest American hero on Wade's headphones. I appreciated that the film makes an effort, though again perhaps not a well-articulated one, to encourage people to take their heads out of the virtual world on a regular basis. In fact, some aspects of Ready Player One are super dark in its depiction of an all-too-plausible future, dominated even more by giant corporations and their struggle for control. It is a convincing and truly frightening dystopia, even without the visit to the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. Pro tip for parents: don't bring young children to this movie. Parts of it are really kind of scary. But overall, it's a fun Where's Waldo of a film. My son and I also went to see Pacific Rim Uprising, which was less surprising in terms of its premise and execution, but no less entertaining. In fact, in some ways, I think I prefer it to the original, since there is no need for an origin story or even much of an update. We get right into the kaiju versus Jaeger battle action. The cast is ridiculously good-looking. If you enjoyed the first, I think you won't regret checking this one out, too. The only other noteworthy wide release this weekend was Acrimony by Tyler Perry, in which Taraji P. Henderson exacts revenge on everyone, like a pissed-off John Wick. I probably will watch this when it shows up on Netflix, but the only other thing I want to see on the big screen this week is to catch Steven Soderbergh's Unsane while I still can. In limited release, we have a couple of interesting-sounding documentaries. The first is called The China Hustle, about dodgy investing finding traction in China and the implications for our own financial system. And The Last Movie Star, about the life and career of Burt Reynolds, the former football star turned actor who is now in his 80s. That film also stars Chevy Chase, by the way. Since this is the bad movie episode, I wanted to mention a movie called Overdrive, which I streamed on Hulu this past week. It stars Scott Eastwood, your favorite Kurt Russell impersonator from Fast 8 and Pacific Rim Uprising. He plays one of a pair of brothers who charms their way around Europe, stealing exotic cars. They decide to pull an Ocean's 11 on a gangster who collects vintage sports cars. It's not the most brilliant story, but it is inventive, sometimes funny, and sometimes surprising for a low-budget action film. The very beautiful Ana de Armas from Blade Runner 2049 leads a strong supporting cast. It's the roadhouse of Scott Eastwood movies, and if that doesn't convince you, I don't know what will. Finally, new on home video this week, we have Star Wars The Last Jedi, which I'm sure I will grab on Blu-ray at some point, and a Chinese action fantasy film called The Thousand Faces of Dun Jia, written by the legendary Choi Hark and directed by the equally legendary Yuen Woping. I definitely want to see it, but I probably will just wait until it streams somewhere.
Previously on Sunday Night in Cinema 3.
10 years ago in Cinema 3, I saw what would prove to be the worst movie I saw that year, at least for the blog. It was called 10,000 BC, a prehistoric melodrama directed by Roland Emmerich, who also made Independence Day, and starring former child star Camilla Bell. It comes off as the kind of film that was a passion project that a director gets to make after a string of commercial successes convinces a studio that they must be King Midas. Sometimes the passion projects turn out to be good, sometimes they turn out to be quirky, personal, but otherwise unremarkable, and some, like Michael Cimino's Heaven's Gate, destroy a movie studio. By the way, if you ever get a chance to read the book by the producer of Heaven's Gate called Final Cut, I highly recommend it. Anyway, 10,000 BC is a miserable, plodding pile of garbage, and the less said about it, the better. I honestly did not remember anything about it before I rewatched it today, and I will probably not remember anything about it a week from now. What I will always remember about 10,000 BC is how there were only a few people in the theater 10 years ago, including myself. I sat as I always did at the very back in the center because I would use a little pen flashlight to write notes about the movie, and I didn't want to disturb anyone trying to watch the film. For some reason, an elderly couple decided they wanted to sit there too, and sat next to me with just one seat between us. I found this odd, but didn't bother moving. As a Canadian, I didn't want to risk being rude. The movie started, I made some notes, and after about 20 minutes or so, I was suddenly tapped on the shoulder by an usher, who told me that the older gentleman had complained about the light from my pen. I was surprised and very chastened by this, as I would never want to ruin a film for someone else, even a bad one. In retrospect, I suppose no one asked this old prick to sit so close to me either, but whatever. I apologized profusely, like a Canadian does, explained lamely that I was kind of a movie critic making notes for a review, and I moved from the back of the theater to the front, where the light coming off the screen was bright enough for me to write by.
Intermission.
You know how sometimes it's fun to sit and laugh at a bad movie with your friends? A whole generation has grown up with movie riffing, from Mystery Science Theater 3000 to Cinematic Titanic, to Riff Tracks, to How Did This Get Made, to, well, Mystery Science Theater 3000 again. Thanks to these shows, terrible films like The Room, Birdemic, and Manus, The Hands of Fate live on in people's hearts. But sometimes, as Freud observed, a bad movie is just a bad movie. It's not fun to watch, it's not even fun to make fun of. And that is the case for both of the movies I talk about this week, Roland Emmerich's 10,000 BC and Who Gives a Shit's Gooby. The Freud in question, by the way, is Danny Freud, my first college roommate, but I maintain that he is correct. And he still owes me $50, but I digress. When you see a lot of movies, especially ones chosen at random, you're bound to see a truly bad, forgettable film every once in a while. A film that gives reality to the regretful phrase, "There's 2 hours I'll never get back." I've only walked out of two films out of the hundreds that I've seen in the theater. If you're familiar with the original Cinema 3 blog, you know that I will sit through nearly anything at least once, and often more than once. So here's a list of the worst films I've ever seen in the theater, in no particular order. Robinson Crusoe on Mars, starring Adam West, I saw as a kid, along with The Cannonball Run 1 and 2, starring Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise, Howard the Duck, and Superman 4. It was quite a special childhood. As I got older, I saw stuff like Highlander 2, Showgirls, and Batman and Robin. I made friends with the kind of people who watched MST3K and always made sure to go to Nicolas Cage movies, which in my case is why you're listening to this now. We went to movies like Glitter, from Justin DeKelly, and Crossroads. My future wife and I bonded over watching films like Underworld 3, the remake of My Bloody Valentine, and The Unborn. She and I still try to see a film like that in January each year. Finally, I'm a cartoonist and comics fan, which means that I see almost everything based on comics, which means that I did see Spider-Man 3, Superman Returns, and Suicide Squad in the theater. To my credit, I did skip Justice League, so perhaps I do have some standards after all. So, what are the worst movies you've ever seen on the big screen? Answer in the comments for this episode on SundayNightInCinema3.com, and while you're there, check out the links to my Patreon and social media.
And now, our feature presentation.
As I write this, it is both the Easter long weekend and a day after April Fool's Day. When I drafted the schedule for this podcast to try to line up movies from my DVD collection with the movies I saw 10 years ago to try to pair them, as it were, I saw 10,000 BC as the worst film I saw for the original Cinema 3 project, so it seemed fitting to talk about the worst DVD in my collection. It is a children's movie, theoretically, made right here in Canada and released in 2009. It's called Gooby, starring Robbie Coltrane, who played Hagrid in the Harry Potter films, as a sort of imaginary friend who looks like a big creepy teddy bear. He arrives one day to help Willie, an autistic kid who's being stalked by a children's book writer called Mr. Nerdlinger, played by Eugene Levy. I heard about Gooby because there's an episode of How Did This Get Made devoted to it. I noticed a cheap copy of it at the Going Out of Business sale for Video Difference here in Halifax, and picked it up. I watched it not long afterward, much to my eternal regret. I don't know why I still have it. If you want it, send your mailing address to heyscottmarshall@gmail.com. First reply will get this movie and probably a fun surprise or two. If you do watch it, make sure you also listen to the corresponding episode of How Did This Get Made to cleanse your palate and your mind.
Roll the credits.
Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is produced, written, and recorded by Scott Marshall, that's me, with much appreciated help from Nicole Slip and the nice people at the Central Branch of the Halifax Public Library. Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is copyright 2018 by Scott Marshall, all rights reserved. Please send your feedback, questions, or concerns to Sunday Night in Cinema 3, that's the number 3, not the written out word 3, at gmail.com or through social media. Visit SundayNightInCinema3.com for our links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other social media platforms I can stand to deal with. This podcast does not have any advertisements because I figure we all have enough advertising in our lives, but it does have some modest expenses. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can check out my Patreon at patreon.com/scottmarshall. That's 2 T's, 2 L's. For as low as $1 a month, you will have exclusive benefits, including outtakes and bonus material from the podcast, a heads up on what's coming up from me, and access to other exclusive digital content that I haven't even thought of yet. The Patreon also has a community forum where you can talk to each other or ask me questions, and if you subscribe for $5 a month or more, you will receive regular packages of physical stuff from me in the mail, including comics, art prints, stickers, game prototypes, and whatever else I can think of to send. Whatever you do, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. See you next Sunday in Cinema 3.
Good night.